So please open your Bibles, turn on your apps to Psalm 100. We're looking at Psalm 100 this evening. And as it says, there's something to shout about. There's all kinds of things we could shout about, isn't there? Well, we've been reminded tonight who we are to shout about. I quite like that picture, though. Got many memories of children being a little like that. But there are all kinds of reasons, aren't there, why people shout. I, as a boy in school, remember the teachers that you kind of quaked when they shouted. And you remembered those teachers that actually you tried to make shout because it was so funny. Some had the authority with their deep voice. Some who spoke like that. This didn't work when they shouted. Depends who says it. Well, shouting is something that all of us have experienced, either because we've been at the receiving end of a shout, or because we have shouted ourselves. Speaking from experience, there's been many a week when I have shouted, and I thought to myself, what was the point of that? Did it really work? Shouting isn't always the most appropriate thing to do. But sometimes it is appropriate. So, for instance, if you lived in the Liverpool area and you supported a team that played in red, on the 1st of June, 2 weeks gone, there would be much shouting for a team that achieved so much. As Liverpool beat Tottenham Hotspurs, I say that right, Tottenham Hotspurs, 2-0. There was much shouting and much singing with that classic line, "You'll never walk alone." And in our psalm tonight, there was much singing and much shouting. So this evening, all I want us to do is three ways that we give thanks and three whys. Three ways and three whys. So we're going to start with the three ways. The first way that we give thanks is that we sing. That might seem obvious, but we sing. What kind of song? Well, from this psalm, we see that it's a joyful song. Notice that throughout this psalm, the focus isn't on the psalmist and his situation, but the focus is on God himself. It's littered throughout the psalm. It's very personal that the psalmist knows God. He refers to himself as being made by God. There's a definite relationship with God. But not only is it proclamation in shouting out and speaking out who God is and what he's done, but you could say it's a love song. There's a lot of love going on in this psalm. Don't know what kind of music you listen to, but some classic songs from the 1980s, let me trace your memories back, was Christa Berg. Remember Christa Berg and his Lady in Red? Never knew who the lady was, but it was a lady in red. And then Eric Clapton singing, "You Were Wonderful Tonight." Do we get the name of the lady? I don't think we do. But in this psalm, there's no doubt who this psalm is to, who this psalm is about. It's about God. And we'll see, and we can see, a deep love that the psalmist has for God. And our songs are so important. This is a song, by the way, you know that. We don't get the tune, but we get the kind of lyrics to the song. And so as a church, our songs need to be, and always need to be, rich and varied. There is a time for short songs, and we had some short songs tonight with a little repetition. because often we forget, so a repetition is a good thing. But the songs that we sing and the songs that we choose are primarily because of the richness of the words. The richness of the words. Of course, the starting point can be the circumstances of the hymn writer as he writes about his experiences of God. But it needs to go above and beyond that as it looks to God himself. These are the best songs. These are the songs that are eternal and everlasting, about an eternal, everlasting God. So the psalmist primarily and firstly this evening sang a song. And that's what we need to do when we give thanks. The ways that we give thanks, number one, we sing. Another way to give thanks is to remember. So look down at verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. So the song that he sings is rich. Not as only does he know God, his Lord, but he can testify to the Lord who has been working in his life. How does he refer to him? He speaks of him as the Lord. This is a name that his servants used. It is a special name that we could spend a long time looking at and expounding that name, Lord. But there are two things just to highlight. That God will be faithful to his servants, and his servants will be faithful to God. You see, to be faithful is to keep your word. And this is what God has done for us, his people. He is a faithful God. And the call of his people is to be faithful as well. As we know time and time again, God was faithful, and yet his people certainly were far from being faithful. But the psalmist could see the Lord's hand on his life. This was not something that he'd read about, but he knew it for himself. He knew the truth that the Lord, as we'll see, was his shepherd. He could look back and see God working in and through his people. There would have been times when the congregation, again, would have looked around at their situation and thought, is this it? Is this it? But when they looked above and when they looked beyond, their circumstances and their situation was helped greatly by that which was above and that which was beyond. That was the truth and that was the experience. And as we remember, we look at the God who looks after us, who cares for us, who guards us, who watches over us against those attacks of the wolves. As we see, this idea of the Good Shepherd gave his life for you. And the shepherd said, nothing can separate you from God. Now, let's just pause for a moment. As I said earlier, we can so often forget the God that we worship. We need songs to remind ourselves of the truth of the gospel. We need to remind ourselves, fellowshipping with one another, to remind ourselves that we are in this together. You know, as we've said, our times together are a little bit like the halftime team talk, whereby we huddle around and we encourage one another to get back on the field on Monday morning to join our front line. But we need to remember, don't we, what the Lord has done for us. This is what the psalmist did, that he looked to what God had done. And, you know, for us as believers, as Christians, let's just remember, let's listen to these words, words which are familiar, but words that will encourage us this evening to remember what we have. What then shall we say in response to these things, Paul says? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? We are his people, the psalmist says. We are his people because it cost God his son. We are his people and he's chosen us. He loves us. Don't forget that. The simple truths of the gospel that we can so often forget. So, the ways that we give thanks, we sing, we remember, but also it's the 24/7. It's the 24/7. As we express our gratitude in all of life. This psalm makes reference to the temple. Can you see that? Where it speaks of entering his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And the temple was far more than something that you did for 1 hour, for maybe one day of the week. It was the whole of life. It was the center of the community. It was where friendships were made. It was where friendships were developed, where people spent their time, where people would do business in some ways. And so therefore, the challenge for us is in our 24/7 life of living each day, and living as we talk about our front line, let us be grateful. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Can you see what's going on here? There's gratitude throughout. This isn't something that you switch on and switch off as you leave the building, but this was the whole of life. So let us be grateful people. Let us be grateful people in our daily lives. Let's be thankful for the ordinary. So be thankful for the day, for the breath that the Lord gives us, for the eyes that we have to see God's beauty, even if it is the Tolworth Tower, for the smell of fresh flowers cut in a vase in the living room. This was just my list from this week. For the people he has put in my life, for the relationships we have, for the colleagues, for the family, for the friendships, for the projects he's given us each day. Whether that's the multinational or the difference we make by getting someone shopping. The 24/7 life that we all live. We all have a part to play. Are we being grateful? Are we showing gratitude for what God has put our way? Worship is much more than point number one of singing. Worship is the whole of life. So let's give thanks for all those things. That's why when we call people to worship as a gathered people, yes, but worship takes place too at those times when we're on our own, when we drive our car, heaven forbid, when we're running around the streets, we can worship, when we're on the tube, the whole of life. So let's be a thankful people. When was it the last time that you gave thanks for the ordinary? When was it the last time you gave thanks for the fact that you've got a train that takes you up to London, even though you might feel like a sardine? When was the last time that you just gave thanks for the simple things, the things that you see as a right but actually are a gift from God? So how do we give thanks? We give thanks as we sing. We give thanks as we remember. We give thanks in all of life, the ordinary and the extraordinary. But moving on, not only so, there's three ways and there's three whys. So the three whys, let's go through them. First of all, why do we give thanks? Well, we give thanks because we have a good God. He is our creator. Look again at verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. See, the psalmist could give thanks for many things. He gives thanks that God is his creator. He knows that without God, to put it simply, he wouldn't be here. He gives thanks for things that today we often just explain away as that's life, that's technology, that's science, and we can so often give no reference to God. But this is the psalmist reminding us who we are to give thanks to. This was something that the psalmist praised God for. It was God who made him. He was, as we've said before, his image bearer. He was made in God's image. That not only impacted his life, but it had a great influence on those that he lived with those that he did business with. It was the whole of life. He was given dignity to all people in the same way that his God did too. And this is just something that we need to remind ourselves of, that God made us. That God made us. He didn't think, what have I done with that person? Have I made a mistake? God never thinks that. As the psalmist says in another part, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't ever recreate a scene that you might see on EastEnders or another soap, which is, I hate my life. What am I doing here? Why am I here? Things that we can say, things that we can mimic from things around us. Never lose sight that you were made by God, that you were made in his image, and you are called to treat others around you who also were made in his image with great dignity and thanks. And also notice as well that phrase, we are his people. As we've said, God is faithful. And surely that is a reason to give thanks, that we are his people. One of the most tragic things that we see in our society today, which has always gone on, but it seems to be far more today, is self-harming. As we see often young people cry out to themselves and cry out to the world, what am I here for? And that's just one aspect of it. But as I said, let's look to God who made us. Let's be people who are thankful for our lives, are thankful for the people in our lives, and ultimately thankful to the God who has brought us here. Some of you are into various hobbies. So yesterday, for instance, I was speaking to a gentleman who plays the thing that he sits on and makes a beat. I think his name's Peter. And he was talking about cars. And if you go into the garage and you ask for a Ford Focus, well, there's many of those, aren't there? But then some of us like our special cars. We talk about them being customized, whereby there's only one like that. It might be the color. It might be the fact that it's got five wheels or whatever it is. I hate to think of that car. Some people have all sorts of customized things. Well, each of us this evening have been customized by our Creator. You see, we don't just roll off the conveyor belt all the same. We are all customized. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. Last week, I tried to be a modern father, and I sat down. That's not being modern. But I sat down and I let my daughter, my youngest daughter, decorate me. Some might call it makeup. And I let her decorate my fingers, and she didn't do my toes, but she did my fingers and she did my face. And she said, Daddy, have a look. Well, I had a look. I think I was more like Corky the Clown than anything else. But then she said, look at the magnifying mirror. Well, I didn't even know there was such a thing. But apparently a mirror we've got, you turn it around the other way and you can see yourself a lot closer. Have you got one of those? Yeah? Well, apparently you can use them to look at yourself closer. And I thought to myself, cool, look at those lines. I haven't seen them before. But the reminder to me is how intricate I am, how intricate all of us are. The reminder that God has made us and he deserves our praise. So we give thanks because he made us. But also, we give thanks because of his great love, his love. Look at verse 5 for a moment. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So his love is not temporary. It's a perfect love with no flaws or conditions or any prenuptials that we may get in our society today. It's a love that Paul writes about, classic words again from 1 Corinthians 13. Let me read them from a modern translation, a message. Love never gives up, Paul says. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. And it's this love that we see in Corinthians, the love that keeps going to the end, is the love that God has for us. It's a love that keeps going till the end. So we can all shout to the Lord this evening. Like I said, all the other loves are temporary. Even if we're in a loving marriage, as we've seen this week with dear Ivan and Dorothy, that will end. But God is love, as John spoke about in his letter. All that John had witnessed through the Lord Jesus, all that he'd seen, the great miracles, the great teaching, the summary of John's life was as he looked at the Lord Jesus, he could see it summed up in those three words. God is love. This love is the love like no other love. This love is love like you would never see again. Have you this evening, as it says, known the love of the shepherd? Why? Well, have a look down at verse 3. The shepherd that we describe. We are his people, the sheep of his pastures. John 10 says, Jesus is the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. Much is said about Jesus as the good shepherd, and so this is the ultimate why. And this is where we end this evening. As we look at reasons why we give thanks for the good shepherd. We give thanks for the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. And it's a wonderful imagery, isn't it? The idea of a shepherd looking after the sheep. And the idea and the picture of the shepherd is the shepherd will give anything to protect his sheep. The shepherd who provides, the shepherd who defends, the shepherd who is always looking for that one that goes astray. God gives us all we need. He is our only savior that we need. This evening, I started off by talking about Liverpool, and that's a wonderful, it looks great, it looks even better in 4K, but there's the picture there of Liverpool city centre on the 2nd of June, like I said, 2 weeks just gone, and there are thousands upon thousands of Liverpool supporters. Imagine if you were a Tranmere supporter or an Evertonian supporter looking at that. It'd be gutting, wouldn't it? You know, it would. I don't think you would be singing You'll Never Walk Alone with the Liverpool fans as you see that procession going through the high street, as you see the supporters shouting and singing You'll Never Walk Alone. But this evening, you see, the message that we're talking about isn't just for the few, isn't just for those who support one team, isn't for those who are born in a certain place, isn't born for someone of a certain gender. The call, as it says at the start of the psalm, is shout for joy to the Lord, some of the earth. No, all of the earth. So this evening, the gospel, this great news of knowing the Lord Jesus, is for Jew and Gentile, as Paul speaks about in his letters, for the rich or the poor, the African or the South American, the Liverpudlian or the Southerner. The psalm encourages us all to join in. So this evening, will we join this song? Will we be able to sing this song? Can we leave here shouting to the Lord, shouting for joy, all the earth? It's a sobering thought, isn't it, that many people are called, the whole world, but not everyone will submit and bow the knee to the Lord Jesus. But it's a wonderful reminder this evening of this great news that we have, momentous news, far greater than a Champions League, far greater than anything else, that we worship and we give thanks to the God who is above all and works through all. Let's pray.